Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Bridal Trail Baptist Church. I'm very thankful that you're able to worship with us today. I know that in this pandemic, we're all worshiping from our homes, but we're thankful that we're able to bring the message into your homes. But before we start off, let's open a word of prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we're ever so thankful for all that you've done. Even in these times, you are Lord over all. You are Lord over the pandemic. You are Lord over the social distancing. And you are Lord over our lives. So may we come to see you, respect you, follow you, and love you with all our mind, soul, and spirit. I trust that you will continue to bless us and keep us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today's message will be called Happily Ever After. Happily Ever After. A lot of times when we look through stories, we like to hear about these fairy tales about once upon a time. And it ends with Happily Ever After. It starts off with some sort of small village or group of people that are oppressed by some sort of evil tyrant, be it an evil queen, a terrible dragon, or a terrible king. And somehow, there's an unlikely hero that is called to save everyone and deliver them. Happily Ever After is how most fairy tales end. The wicked witch has been destroyed, the evil dragon has been killed, and the evil tyrant, king, has been done away with. And from there on after, the good has been restored and the evil has been banished. The prince kisses his bride and she becomes a princess. They live happily ever after and they ride off on the horse into the sunset. They fall in love, there's romance or love, and that ends happily ever after. But in real life, do we always live happily ever after? In real life, we don't know how to get there and we don't know what happily ever after looks like. Nobody ever tells us how to live or how to live happily ever after. But what happens if we don't live happily ever after? What do we do and where do we go? Paul did not always live happily ever after. He went through strife, difficulties, trials. He lived in times of plenty. He lived in times of comfort. He was content, but it was also many times when he was persecuted, stoned, thrown into prison, and also shipwrecked. Things did not always go as planned. He faced a lot of difficulties. In the book of Acts, as we follow through Paul and his companions, we know that they go through different countries, different regions to share God's word. But even in prison, when he's thrown in jail, he's also praising God. So we're continuing on with Acts, and we're reading 16, 25 to 31. So my first point is free to worship. On our website, btpc.org, there's also a link where you can follow on and find our bulletin. And there, you'll find our notes. So please follow along and fill out the notes. So the first point is free to worship. Paul had passed through Derbe and Lystra and found Timothy, a disciple that was found full of Spirit. Everyone heard about him, and he heard a lot of good news about him in the community, that he was faithful and that he was a good follower of Christ. Timothy joined Paul and his companions as he traveled down to the town to teach and to strengthen the church. Paul and his companions, there were Silas, Timothy, and also Luke. They visited Philippi, a Roman colony that was connected to major roads that connected to Europe and all the sea routes. It was an influential city that many people passed through, and they were able to share the gospel. On the Sabbath day, they were looking for a place of prayer. They came across two women, Lydia and a female slave. In these two scenarios, both these women reacted very differently to the truth. They heard it, but how they responded is very different. In verse 14, we hear about this. One of the listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. Lydia knew the Lord and worshiped him. She had a relationship with God, but it was only through Paul's message that she understood what it meant to be a true believer of God, and she was baptized with water and also the Holy Spirit. The transformation was so personal and so real that encouraged her household to believe and to be baptized as well. From being a complete stranger, she actually welcomed Paul and all her companions into her household to stay with her. This transformation was only possible through the love of Christ. This is the first time they ever met because her belief in Christ was so strong, they trusted Paul and his companions like family. A couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to visit another church overseas, like abroad at Detroit. This was the Metro Detroit Chinese Alliance Church. This is the place where I had the opportunity to share my testimony and also teach God's word. So we were there for the whole weekend. And while there, Even though I've never met these people beforehand, they treated us like family. We shared about our common interests, some of the things we've done, and most importantly, we shared in our love of Christ. But quite miraculously, some of them were actually people from Toronto. They lived in Toronto for quite some time, and they settled in Detroit. So while we were talking, we shared about some of the places we visited, the famous restaurants, the famous foods that we liked in Toronto, and that enforced our bond. But over the time, over the weekend, I learned to know more about them. We didn't know each other previously, but since we had that commonality in Jesus Christ, they treated us like family. We talked, we shared about stories, we talked about what we were going to do and how God spoke to us. Since we all believed in the same Father, we confessed that Jesus was our Lord, and we were all blessed by the same Holy Spirit, we were definitely family, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's the same experience when you travel or visit new churches. You visit new people. You share in the same God. You speak the same language. And you share and believe in the same gospel. As God is our Father, we are one in family. In that sense, there is trust and also love. Lydia shared this family love with Paul and his companions and offered them food and lodging. Paul and Silas were on their way to prayer. They were met by a female slave who had a spirit which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. In verse 17, we continue on. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who we are telling you to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. The second woman knew of God. She spoke of the truth, but she did not have a personal relationship with God. She knew what Jesus Christ was about. She knew the way to Jesus Christ for salvation and deliverance, but she did not trust God personally. Unlike Paul, her source of faith was not from God, but is demonic in nature. Paul was not annoyed with her introductions and announcements. He was annoyed that the truth of her power was not from God, but it was demonic and spiritual in nature. And as a slave woman, she had no rights and served only for the purpose of making profit for her masters. Paul realized that her allegiance was not with God, but with otherwise. After Paul casted out the demon, the woman lost her ability to foretell the future. The owners were furious, not because of what she spoke about, not what she did, but because she could no longer make a profit for them. And immediately they seized Paul and Silas. They spoke to the authorities and said they were speaking falsehood against the government and spreading false truths. In retaliation, the government and authorities were called. The crowds had quickly gathered in anger around them. The crowds charged them with spreading the gospel illegally in Rome. The guards stripped Paul and Silas and beat them severely and sent them in jail and put them in stocks all around their feet. They kept a watchful eye on them and kept them in prison. Paul and Silas were minding their own business, and they had no mean to harm anybody, but they only meant to do good, to care for another, to serve them. They only wanted to share Christ with others, but the crowds strongly resisted them and their message. Over here in Canada, we are so much more fortunate. We have the freedom to do whatever we like, to practice different faiths, different religions. In some places, they are not so lucky, but we are very affluent in our country, and we have good health, we have good education. We have the freedom to live life that we choose, but we also have the freedom to choose our schools and our employment. But most importantly, we have the freedom to choose to worship our Lord and our God. There are many countries that is forbidden and is against the law to publicly read or share the contents of the Bible. It is just as in the old days in the Old Testament where people were imprisoned and even killed because of their faith. In Canada, there is no limits in terms of how we worship our God. We have that freedom to share Christ, to be able to share the gospel. We have the complete freedom to worship, and we should take advantage of us. We should praise God at all times. Because Paul and Silas, even though things were not allowed, they were not permitted, they still shared the gospel quite boldly. We read in Psalms 34, 1-3. Psalm 34, 1-3. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast owning the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. Paul and Silas, physically they were imprisoned, they were in shackles, they were in a cold, damp, and dark cell. But spiritually, they were free. They were allowed to worship God. They felt they were able to sing praises, to pray openly, even though physically they were in a cell, but their hearts, their mind, their soul, and their strength were all based on Jesus Christ. Physically, they were very limited. They were shackled. There were soldiers guarding them. They couldn't do too much. But their minds and their voices still praise God. They thank God for where they were and what God had provided for them. Their hearts set on God, even though all authorities had beaten them and imprisoned them. They take away their dignity, their freedom, and their personal rights. Their bodies were beaten and they were sore. But there was nothing that the authorities can do to take away their passion, their worship, and their praise towards their Lord Christ. It is the hope in Christ that sets us free. In these dark, cold, and damp cells, Paul and Silas, they were not crying, they were not shouting fears, but instead, they were crying out their hearts into praise and to worship to our God. It is through the faith that God got them into the prison, but it was also in this same situation, they praised God and thanked him. They showed no fear towards the gods and sang out loud. Other prisoners, they heard their praises and also heard their prayers. So even in prison, Paul and Silas, they found hope in their God. We read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians 5, verse 1. Freedom in Christ. It is for the freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Over here, we read through Paul's letter to the Galatian church that there is freedom, the freedom in Christ that sets us all free. Free from guilt, free from shame, and most importantly, free from our sin. I'm encouraged by Paul and Silas' devotion to God. Despite the seriousness, conviction of their crimes, and possibly even the death penalty, they still thank God. They still pray to God with open arms and with open hearts. They did not do it quietly, but they did it very boldly, right in the jail cells where they were shackled. They sang joyfully, "Christ has set us all free. We are all to stand firm in our faith despite what we think, do, or what we say. We are all to remain faithful to God in all situations, whether we are free, whether we are in chains. Sometimes, our circumstances may not be the most pleasant, may not be the most joyous, it may not be favorable, but in our hearts, we are always free. Jesus Christ died for all of us, for you, me, and everyone else. He is our Lord and our Savior. We will identify with his sufferings and also with his resurrection. Our sinful nature died with Jesus Christ on the cross. Since our shame and our guilt, our sin was on the cross, we also died with Christ. But for Christ's resurrection, we also share in that, and we have been set free. God is not the source of our problems, but he is our solution. We can't blame God for everything that goes wrong in our lives. In fact, he's the one that sets us free. He's the one that gives us hope, joy, and peace. It is our hope in Christ that will set us all free. So our first point is that we're able to free to worship God. Our second point is we are free from our problems and our worries. We are free from our problems and our worries. It's almost been 40 years since the death of the legendary John Lennon. His music and his drive for world peace has inspired generations of artists from past, present, and future. Despite the passing for many years, there's still a fascination with Beatles, their music, and what they believed in. Their sales of their music on Apple iTunes is still incredible. It's in the millions. John Lennon's original handwritten lyrics for his hit song, Beatles, A Day in the Life, was sold at Sotheby's auction for $1.2 million, and that's almost twice the estimates. Even John Lennon's Facebook, he's so much more popular than I do. He has so much more followers, even though in his death, he has over 14 million followers. So when you look through the life of John Lennon, he spoke about peace. He sang about it, especially in his music. One of his more famous songs was called Imagine. And here are some of the lyrics. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die, and there's no religion. Imagine all the people living in peace. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will be as one. So John Lennon, he sang of peace. He spoke about a future where there'll be no more violence, no more wars, and there will be peace. He was a dreamer. He wanted everyone to be one. He believed there would be no more countries, there would be no more wars. If there was no God, no religion, everyone would be one and it would be ideal. There was no wars to fight, no places to conquer, no places to defend. Lenin also sung that the world would be together if there was no heaven, no hell, and no religion. John Legend, I have to admit that he was a great musician, great artist, but he was also a dreamer. Because in reality, there is a heaven, there is a hell, and there is God. The existence of God in heaven is not the source of our problems. Instead, God is our solution. He's the one that gives us hope. He's the one that gives us peace. He's the one that will make us all one. God is our provider, and He is our creator. He's the one who sustains us. He is the author of life and the author of love. Without heaven, without God, we would not be one. We would be in more destruction, more violence, and more wars. Without God, there would be no hope, no joy, no life. And that is what is left would be chaos, misery, destruction, and death. We read through Hebrews 3:6, and we read about our hope in Christ. Hebrews 3:6. But Christ, as a son, is in charge of God's entire house. And we are God's house if we keep our courage and remain confident in hope in Christ. So we continue to hope in Christ. We are God's church. He will give us blessings. He will take care of us. And we will have faith and hope in Jesus Christ. The problem of this world will always be there. There will always be wars, disasters, pain, violence, disease, and death. But even during these times, there is always hope in Christ. He is our guide, our light. He is the one who leads us through the storms of life. He does not promise us to remove all the problems, all the trials, but He does promise us that He will be with us as always. It is through Christ that we have hope in life, and He will set you free. So continue on Acts chapter 16, 22. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received the orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and all the other prisoners were listening to them. Paul and Silas, they were imprisoned and they were in stocks. They had no food. It was cold, dark, damp. It was very uncomfortable, unbearable, and they'd been severely beaten prior to that. So they're covered in sores, bruises, pains. But even in these times, even though they were not physically free, their hearts were free. Their hopes were in Jesus Christ. And even in those times, they sang praises to God. They were not complaining. They were not wailing and crying out, but they were praying and praising to God. It was so evident, so real, and it was so bold in what they did that everyone heard. All the prisoners heard the praise of who their God was. They were still in the problems. Even after praying, even after during the worship, they were still in shackles. But they knew it was God who sustained them. Their faith was so evident that everyone in prison heard the prayers and songs of God. Miraculously, God delivered them. Because all of a sudden, there was an earthquake. The whole foundations of the prison shook. It shook so much that the doors fell off all the joints. Even their shackles were broken. And all the doors swung open, and they were free. Their hope in Christ had set them free. God might not always deliver from your problem so spectacularly, but He will always set you free. I'm not trying to downplay the sufferings or the sorrows, but if you place your complete trust in God, I assure you that He will give you hope, He will bless you, and He will reward you. Christ is the head of God's house, and if you believe in Him, we have hope and courage in Christ, because hope in Christ will always set you free. So my first point is, we are free to worship. Secondly, we are free from failures and worries. My third point is free to show compassion. Free to show compassion. So when we go continue on, we know that our God is the one who gives us hope. He gives us the freedom to worship. He gives us a freedom from worries and sufferings. But now we come to the part that where most of us fail. Free to show compassion. A lot of us, we are not very compassionate. We are not always loving. We care more for ourselves than for those around us. But we are called to have compassion. We are called to show Christ-likeness, to show love, to show care, to show grace towards others. It is so much easier to show that love and the care towards family, friends. For birthdays and celebrations, we often give gifts to these people because we love them. We spend countless hours online just to find the perfect gift. This is all so that we can bring happiness to the people that we love. But what about the people who make fun of us? Those who we do not always love? These are the people that are more likely to throw lemons than we are to give gifts to them. We wouldn't want to say hello to them, let alone show them love. We go out of our way to avoid these people. But for those people we really hate, sometimes we have an urge to seek revenge. We're affected by those around us, and sometimes we want to act as judge and even executioner. It is not easy to show love and to show compassion, especially to those people who annoy us, who give us hard times, who give us trouble. But even if we were able to seek revenge and give judgment, that may not always guarantee happiness. Because even if we seek out revenge, things may not change. Our problems are still there. But we are called to be Christ-like, to love, and even to those people who offend us. God is a judge, and we are called to be Christ-like. God is a great judge, and we are accountable to Him for all our actions, our words, and our thoughts. But thankfully, our God is righteous. He is a good judge. He is pure, and His judgment is always fair. We read in Ecclesiastes 3:17. God will bring into judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be time for every activity, a time to judge every deed. Paul and Silas, they were wrongfully accused. They were accused for something that they did not do. They were in prison. They were beaten. But the crimes that they were given, they were falsified. They were not real. They did not deserve the treatment that they received, the imprisonment or the beatings. Yet, they did not show any anger or hatred towards the jailer or those who put them in jail. The jailer, he felt the earthquake and rushed to the jail cells. He wasn't sure what was happening, but when he arrived there, he realized that all the doors were wide open. He was in shock. He was in fear, because as a jailer, he is solely responsible for the imprisonment of everyone. And if there is a jailbreak, he'd be responsible, and sometimes he'd be responsible for his own death. So here it is. The jailer, he knew that the punishment was coming. He pulled out his own sword. He drew it out, ready to take his own life. But Paul, he shouted out, "Don't do it. We are all here." The jailer, he was only responsible for the pain and suffering of Paul and Silas. He's the one that had him beaten, put into the inner cells, to be shackled. He did not care for their well-being. He did not care whether they were well-dressed or warm, whether they even had a bed or a blanket. They were cold, hungry, and they were in pain. But all the jailer cared for was that they were remaining in their jail cells and in their chains. But we look over here. Paul and Silas did not seek to get revenge. They did not do anything. They could have done nothing. If they really truly wanted to seek revenge, they would have remained silent. They could have even ran off, but they didn't do any of that. They could have just said nothing, and the jailer would have just killed himself, and they would not to be to blame at all. The jailer would be responsible for his own death. But for ourselves, when we are wronged, it is so much easier to lash out in anger, to voice out in crude languages, to seek revenge, to get back what we deserve, and to give to others what we think they deserve. We do not show mercy. We do not show grace. We want to play the role of judge, dispense our own version of justice. But we are Christ followers. As Christ followers, we're to love God with all our strength, with all our mind. But we're also to love our enemies. But if we believe that God is Lord, He is Lord over all. If He is Lord over all, we trust Him with our lives, but we also trust Him with the lives of others. He will judge our actions and the actions of others. God will judge every action of every person, the righteous and also the wicked. Paul could have harbored anger and hatred towards the jailer, but instead he showed compassion. He cried out to the jailer to stop because he didn't want to see the jailer take away his own life. Paul demonstrated genuine Christian love. Paul and Silas, they could have escaped. No one would have knew. They left in the middle of darkness in the evening. They could have left, and by the time in the morning, the jailers would have realized they would be long gone, and there would be no consequences for them. But instead, they stayed in their jail cells, and they reached out to the jailer. They did this out of love and did not expect anything in return. Jesus taught them to show kindness to their neighbors and even to their enemies. So we read about this in Proverbs 25:21-22. Proverbs 25:21-22. If your enemy is hungry, give them something to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. So Paul and Silas, they did not seek out revenge. They trusted in an almighty God, a God that is responsible for judging the righteous and also the wicked. For most of us, we tend to show love and care, especially for those who are family and friends. But God tells us we're to love our neighbor and to also love our enemies. This is the most difficult task, but we must also care for our enemies. God can change the hearts of them as well. When we show mercy and kindness, we do it without expectations and not for reward. We do it out of love to imitate Christ. For he was perfect and he lived a perfect life. He did not come to this world to suffer, but ultimately he died at the hands of those he created. He loved the crowds, the religious leaders, and even the soldiers while they spat on him, while they beat him, and while they crucified him. They hated him, but Christ in his heart still loved them all. He gave them the greatest gift of all, salvation. We were all given a full pardon while we were still guilty, while we were still enemies of God. It is especially important that we show even more kindness towards each other, especially when we are socially isolated in these times of COVID-19. Maybe it's a simple phone call. Maybe it's a simple hello. But show kindness, show mercy whenever you can. I know that things are very different now, but we can find many different ways where we can reach out to people, maybe online, maybe through Zoom, maybe through Google Meets, or maybe we can grab a coffee or picnic, but keep social distancing. But we do this not for the reward, but we do it out of obedience. And sometimes the reward we get may not be what we expect. The reward is a blessing, but it's not a motivation to love another. We love another because Christ loved us first. But while we do this out of obedience, God rewards us by blessing us. But sometimes this reward may not be monetary, and sometimes be not what we expected. But I guarantee you, whatever God blesses you, it'll be more than what you've actually expected. Paul and Silas, they were brutally beaten and severely thrown in jail, but they chose to show kindness towards the jailer. The jailer was so relieved that the prisoners were still in their cells. No one had escaped. He was responsible for their pain and misery, but now it was a jailer who was trembling in fear. The jailer realized that his life depended on the safeguard of all the prisoners. Since all the prisoners were accounted for, he realized that his life was spared. The jailer did not give Paul and Silas the best of treatment. He had them beaten, thrown to prison, and shackled. He did not care for the well-being, but after he became a Christian, things totally changed. He had a change of heart. His life was spared, and he fell down before Paul and Silas. He might have heard them praying and singing previously, but now he realized Paul and Silas had something that he did not. They had hope. They had joy in Christ. The jailer wanted what Paul and Silas had. He asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" To Paul and Silas, the jailer was not the best candidate to share the love of Christ. They prayed and shared a message of Jesus with him. They encouraged the jailer, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." When we are being mistreated by others, we should pray for them. There is nothing that God cannot do. He can change the hearts of the most callous hearts. He can change those who have hearts of stone, those who we do not believe worthy of the gospel. But we are not to seek revenge for those who offend us, but we are to pray for them. Our God in heaven, he hears our prayers. He judges those who are righteous and also the wicked. He will change the hearts, even those who offend us. Paul and Silas prayed for the jailer. In verse 32 of Acts 16, when they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house, at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately, he and his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. The jailer once had no concern for the well-being of Paul and Silas. He did not care for their wounds. He did not care that they were suffering. He did not care for that they were hungry. There was a total change in his personality once he came to know Christ. He wanted to have what Paul and Silas had, which is that hope in Jesus Christ. And once he achieved that, he realized all the error of his ways, how he'd mistreated Paul and Silas, who were once their enemies, but now they were brothers in Christ. They were considered family and also friends. He took them to the household, cleaned them up, bandaged them, and gave them a warm meal. Immediately, he and his household were baptized. The jailer brought them in the household and gave them a warm meal. He was filled with great joy because he and his household had all found the hope in Jesus Christ. This story seems like a fairy tale ending where we see everyone living happily ever after. The good guys have been set free and the villain has become the hero. Not all stories end this way. This story could have been very different if Paul and Silas did not show mercy and kindness. How often has that one person in our lives that we cannot tolerate, the person that we cannot stand? Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a classmate. Maybe it's somebody in your family. These people that we want to avoid, and sometimes, even in my life, there are people that I could not tolerate. Some of these were actually my students in Sunday school. But thankfully, none of those students who came to our church, they're from my old church. But you know who these people are. You know their names. These people you cannot forgive. These people that you would never talk to. Maybe it's a coworker that you would avoid them. You would not even hold the elevator door for them. You would turn your back on them and only talk to them when needed and necessary. Jesus has given us the greatest commandment, which is to love your God with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. But what does that mean to you? What does it mean to love God with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength? God has given us a command, and the second command is to love your neighbor. On top of that, Jesus also adds that we must love our enemy and pray for those who persecute you. I do not deserve the mercy that God has shown me. I am far from being perfect, but even in my situation, God has blessed me richly. I have learned to show compassion, to love, especially for those who do not return it to me. I have done so many wrongs, I have caused so much hurt, but even in my situation, God has shown me abundantly His love, His kindness, and His mercy. And so much more, I am to show and reciprocate this love and care towards others. It's amazing that those students that I shared about earlier on, those that are most difficult, these are the ones who challenge me, those are the ones that give me problems, whatever I said, whatever I did, they would also question me. But God blessed them. God blessed me as I showed them mercy, kindness, and love. And I look back at the lives of these students, they're all grown up, they are young adults, and they are still serving the church and serving the Lord with full of joy. The jailer and his family didn't deserve kindness, but God blessed them through the obedience of Paul and Silas. They gave the jailer and his family hope and joy in Christ. It is our enemies and those who persecute us who need our compassion. They need our love. It is our hope in Christ that gives us freedom. So even the darkest places in our lives, we can find hope. Today, I'm really going old school. I'm revealing my age. First, I spoke about John Lennon and the Beatles. Now I'm going to talk about another movie, an older movie. You might have guessed it, but you're wrong. It's not a Star Wars movie. It is not a Marvel superhero movie. It is a Shawshank Redemption. It is a story based on the novel written by Stephen King. The Shawshank Redemption is a movie that talks about the main characters, Andy Dufresne and Red. They are played by Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman. They find hope in the most unexpected places. Each of them have committed crimes. For Andy, he was wrongfully committed, but Red, he committed some sort of crime that was quite foolish. But both of them were able to find hope in prison. Despite the hardships, difficulties, fightings, beatings, they found hope in each other. In prison, there are lots of fears of confinement, the fear of freedom, and the fear of living. In this cold and harsh condition, they also found hope in their friendship with each other. Andy was wrongfully convicted for murdering his wife. He'd always maintained his innocence and hoped that the justice system that sent him to prison would one day set him free. Red laughs at Andy and tells him, "Let me tell you something, my friend. Hope is a dangerous thing. Hope can drive a man insane." Both men have their own fears and struggles. The dark side of prison revealed that it is a power of hope that helps each prisoner survive. It is a fear of imprisonment and hope that sets him free. Andy eventually escaped from prison, and Red, over time, he was finally released. Paul and Silas and jailer face their own prison and manage to find hope in Christ. Their hope in Christ had set them free. Paul and Silas, they were always free to worship. They were free to show compassion. They were free from problems and failures. Even though Paul and Silas, they were physically imprisoned, but spiritually, they were free. They had joy. They had happiness. We have all our own fears. We have our own prisons. But wherever you are and whatever we face, we are all free to worship Christ, and we can be set free from our problems. We are free to show compassion. It is our hope in Christ that sets us free. Through Jesus Christ, we can turn fairy tales into reality. We can find happily ever after in Jesus Christ. We find hope in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, once again we come before you. I know a lot of us have our own strifes. We have our own trials, our own difficulties. But we are encouraged that your message gives us hope. Even though that we are physically confined to where we are, where we live because of the pandemic, we know that we are free. We are free to worship you. We are free to give you praise. But I pray that you will change us and mold us so that we can be more Christ-like, so that we can show compassion to our friends, to our family, to our neighbors, and even to our enemies. It is through this hope that will bring joy to this rest of this world. I ask and we pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to guide us and rest in us deeply so that we'll be molded and shaped so that we'll be more like you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.